Recordings have started.
Okay, thanks everyone. We'll kick off, I think. Thank you all for joining this call. Inevitably, for some people, it's going to be late at night or early in the morning. I'm assuming that I've got the really awesome job of convening and chairing this call, rapporteur, and I've been doing some preparatory work, which you've seen shared with you, and that guides the agenda. I thought the first thing that we should discuss was the split of work between the two working parties that was suggested by the co-chairs at our meeting in, where was it, Singapore, because it does involve some slight changes to where the various functions that we've got might live. So I think we should discuss those. We can discuss our conclusions with Becky's working group and with the co-chairs, and then see where we, whether and if so, what we realign between the two working parties. We need to come up with a work plan and how we're going to do our work together, so that's the second item. The scope, powers, and mechanisms paper has only been discussed on the internet so far, online, and a little bit face-to-face, so we thought it important to have a discussion of that on this call. And then, to give you time to think about what you'd like to volunteer for, we'll do that after those discussions. That'll be the fourth item. And then any other business. Are there any other points to add? Does anyone want to add anything to this agenda? I hear perfect silence, so you'll still have a chance to add stuff that you need to at the end, and the any other business, the minor items. Tijani, are we organizing the operator to call you? Is that possible, operator? Okay. Great. Okay, thank you. In the meantime, the first item, triggered versus non-triggered. As you'll recall, when we started these two working parties, we had a broad subject difference between us and Working Party 2. Our responsibility was for community empowerment mechanisms, and Working Party 2 was looking at review and reject, mainly. Now, the co-chairs in Singapore proposed a different split of responsibilities between triggered and non-triggered mechanisms. And the way I think about those two things is that triggered mechanisms are ones where they're started by some other event. They're not planned, in other words. So an example from our list that's a triggered mechanism would be removing one or more ICANN board members. We wouldn't plan to remove ICANN board members. We plan to elect them. But if something happened that meant that they needed to be removed, that would be triggered. And so under the proposed variation, if this is the non-triggered powers working group, we wouldn't be responsible for developing that any further. It would go to Becky's working party 2 to do it. Conversely, an example of a non-triggered or planned mechanism is to give the community power to approve or veto the budget. That's because planning the budget is a task that is just part of the organization's normal work. It doesn't fall outside, it isn't triggered by an extraordinary event. The budget comes up, it can be reviewed by the community, either people want you let it through or not. So that's the conceptual distinction, and it hasn't, people seem broadly happy with those, as far as I can make out in Singapore, but this is a chance, first of all, to comment and reflect on it. And then if we're happy with that, or if we don't have a different suggestion, we're going to need to go through our scope, powers, and mechanisms working paper, through the table on it, and we're going to need to allocate things between the two, and possibly shuffle some off to working party two, which is dealing with triggered mechanisms. So I hope that all makes sense. So could we start with a conversation about that difference? Do you think it's clear? Do you think it's workable? Do you think it's better than what we've got now? What are your thoughts? Who would like to speak? If you could use the hands up in the room, that would be great. Araste, you're the covers.
Yes, good evening or good morning or good time, everyone. There are some hums from time to time, a background noise. Now disappeared. I hope it will not appear. It is difficult to hear you. I'm sorry to say that. I don't know whether anybody else has the same problem or is only me. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Esther. As I said, unfortunately, with no notice, there's some construction going on next door to where I am. So I will try and hold the microphone up as close as I can to me and to be muted when I'm not speaking. But unfortunately, I can't fix it further than that. There are currently no other hands up, but there were some hands up before. So if you'd like to speak, please do use the hands up function in the chat room.
Jordan, hey, it's Steve. I'm unable to raise my hand right now. For some reason, the Adobe looks like it's malfunctioning. If I could get in the queue.
Okay. Yeah, so I'll take Roloff and then Steve. If other people are having that problem, please let me know. So Roloff and then Steve.
Thanks, Jordan. As to your question, to me it's both clear and workable, so I think it's a good way forward, better than the distinction we had before.
Okay, thank you for that comment. Steve, and then I'll reply to Matthew's question in the chat. Steve.
Thanks. Steve Del Bianco. I wanted to ask, just to clarify, that the purpose of coming up with a distinction was to divide the work. It wasn't as if this distinction was ingeniously devised to put like items together. It was somewhat arbitrary between calendar-driven and non-calendar-driven items, so that the work could be roughly evenly divided. Do I have that right?
Yes, Steve, that's my understanding. It was basically looking at the mind map that we did in Frankfurt and roughly allocating the work between two groups so that we just had an effective split. There's no great genius behind it that way, and I'm not sure of a great genius in the proposed realignment.
And so if, in fact, we went through the documents you've done, and we identified the items that are part of our non-triggered work party, I believe we should leave the rest of the items in the document so that when the other work party finishes their work, it can simply be plugged in. I'd hate to lose the organizational work that you've already done by removing those items while we're waiting for the other work party. Would you agree to leave them in there then?
Yes, I don't think we should delete anything out of our Scott Powers Mechanisms paper, and because not least, given we were all attracted to this working party by the community empowerment thing, we'll want to see what progress the other party is making if we transfer them. I haven't got, I should add, any sense from this that they're going to come and audit us about which powers and which working party, so
great.
I think that there's a little bit of room for flexibility.
Got it. And on the cartoon slides that we looked at last Thursday morning in Singapore, the non-triggered column included just five things: the budget and strat plan approval, which you indicated in your email, structural reviews, which are things that are motivated by the bylaws, structural reviews, the AOC reviews, board member elections, which is surprisingly, you probably ought to say something. I'm surprised that board member elections suddenly showed up. And then finally, ATRT review teams, which is the same thing as affirmation of commitments. So while those items are calendar-driven, so I'm concerned that things that we believe should be done in work stream one include modification of the bylaws to bring the affirmation of commitments in. They include modification of the bylaws so that we're not deferential to GAC advice that comes over without a consensus. This is something we discussed just two nights ago, and I appreciate that you put it into your table already. Thank you. But
those two items I just brought up, the bylaws changes, they don't show up at all on the Work Party 1, Work Party 2 list. And so while we appreciate the chairs helping us organize the work, I do think we should feel free to put things like that into our Work Party 1 and put as much detail behind it as possible, because it's part of what we've got to do to empower the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. I don't think that what was on the slides was intended to be comprehensive. I think it was designed to give the community an idea of the sorts of things. So the five you listed, I in fact think board elections do belong in the triggered mechanisms. But things like incorporating the ATRT in the bylaws are clearly not triggered, so they would have to be in our scope of action. So as I've said on the chat, I updated, and I'm sorry this happened so late because it only occurred to me I should have a go at this morning. At the Scope, Powers, and Mechanisms working paper, I added a column on the right-hand side of the table and have just suggested whether the particular powers and mechanisms in that list would count as triggered or non-triggered. And it might help us to quickly review that document on the screen. So that's going to be loaded in a second, I think. In the meantime, I have Roloff and Kavush with their hands up again. Roloff, would you like to have another comment?
Sorry, that's an old hand. I'll put it down.
Okay, thank you. Kavush?
Sorry, during the last few days, there is an extensive discussion relating to the change of the bylaw in regard with the way that GAC working and the changing or possible changing consensus in GAC by supermajority or something. I sent several messages to everybody and sent a message to the GAC and the chair of the GAC that we should be very, very prudent and very careful on this very delicate and sensitive issue of changing the consensus to supermajority. We have been facing considerable difficulty during the last 3 years that this consensus has helped us. Changing that would be very, very big departure from the current, and we need to have a clear advice or clear reaction from the GAC. Please kindly consider that. It is not an easy issue to change the consensus by supermajority or whatever type of majority that you're thinking of. It's just a warning. Thank you.
Thank you, Kavush. I'd like us, if we could, to hold the discussion about that item until we get to item 3 in our agenda, where we look at the content of the scope and powers mechanism. As you'll see in it, I've added the text that Steve has put on the list to that. And at the moment, so I would like us to just focus, if we could, on the kind of allocation of items. But we will definitely come back to it. I don't think that we're trying to tell the GAC what to do in any case, but we should discuss the substance of that point right with you. Steve, you've got your hand up in the chat as well.
Jordan, I don't mean for it to be up. I have lost the ability to lower it. I no longer have the control that I used to have here, so that's not me. I may reload. I'm going to reload Adobe to see if that helps. Sorry about that.
Okay. So if we accept that this distinction is useful to work through, just so we can at least see where our powers are, I think you all have the new version of that Scope, Powers, and Mechanisms working paper in the middle of your document. So I'd encourage you just to run down the list of the powers for the community table. And in the right-hand column, I've added a first look at what might be T for triggered, which is not our working party, and N2 for non-triggered, which is our working party, against each of the kind of mechanisms or powers that's set out there. And I think the easiest way to do this is take 5-10 minutes. We can run this. We've got time to do it. And for people to look at those allocations that I've proposed and to raise any concerns, so just explain that you think it should be in a different category, and we can have a discussion about it. So if people are happy with that approach, let's do that. The alternative approach, by the way, is for me to just run through and spend 5 minutes explaining why I put the letter either way. But it's over to you. I'm happy to do it either way.
Jordan, it's Steve. It would help me if you explained the now on the first couple. Then I have a better idea about how you see the distinction between triggered and non.
Okay, I can do that. In terms of changes to ICANN bylaws and articles of incorporation, I thought that would be a triggered power, because what we're suggesting is that the community should block a change that is the initiative of someone else. So if some part of the community or the ICANN proposes a change, this power suggests that we should be able to block it. So it's triggered by the act of suggesting the change. So that's why it was triggered. The second one, for border management action that conflicts with the bylaws, once again, there's an action that's in conflict. So someone has done something. It's that action which triggers the community response, which would be the challenge at the management or board decision. So that's why I thought it was triggered. As opposed to the third one, the budget and strategic plan, if the budget and strategic plan process is a normal part of the corporation's activity, it does those things on a regular cycle, and they come to a conclusion. And it seems to me that because that process, what we're proposing is just another sign-off point in that process, it isn't particularly triggered. It's a non-triggered thing. It forms part of the normal work of the organization. So that was how I distinguished between those three. I hope that's helpful.
Jordan, this is Steve. It is helpful to me. Do we have a better understanding that this is exactly the way Becky Burr and Work Party 2, do they see it the same way?
That is a good question. I was hoping to chat with Becky before this call, but I didn't. And so I'm going to be speaking with her after this call. If there's a reconciliation issue in how we're treating triggered and non-triggered, we'll need to bring that back to both of our working parties. Kavush, you still... Oh, yeah, you let your hand go. Tijani, your hand up, your turn.
Thank you, Jordan. Tijani speaking. I want to follow up on what Steve just said, and I do think that we need to consult with Becky and his working party about the triggered and not triggered issues. I think that what you did, Jordan, on your table is, for me, very logical. So it's only to submit her what this table and ask for her point of view or her group point of view about triggered and not triggered issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Yes, I think that makes sense. And the obvious point there is that probably the result will be we would transfer some of our powers and mechanisms to her working party, and she would transfer some to ours. I haven't reviewed hers yet. But thank you for seeing them as much. Kavush, you've got your hand up as well.
Yes. Is it possible that you kindly explain what do we mean by working party one is non-triggered group? I understand triggered subject, triggered issue, but non-triggered group, what do you mean by that? Is it possible that you kindly clarify that for me at least?
Yep. So it relates to a decision that the co-chairs made at the ICANN meeting in Singapore to propose triggered and non-triggered as two different, as a different and new way to split the work between the two working parties. So originally, was the working party for community empowerment, and working party two was the working party for review and redress. And most review and redress mechanisms are triggered by some event, either in the company or in the community, whereas quite a lot of the community powers are part of ICANN's normal processes or changing the bylaws to give the community sign-off over some normal planning processes. I propose that division as a more logical division than the community empowerment review and redress. So that's the nature. It's kind of a retitling, repurposing of these two working parties that I and Becky are the rapporteurs for, and lead to a bit of work being shuffled between them. Tiani, I see your hand up again.
Yes. Thank you, Jordan. Merge AOC into the ICANN bylaw. I think we need to change the formulation. Once the AOC is merged inside the ICANN bylaw, it will be a non-triggered issue. But to merge it, you need to. It is something. It is not something regular, if one. So I prefer to say once included in the bylaw, it will be a non-triggered mechanism.
Thank you, Gianni. Let me just respond to that. If we shouldn't look at the changes required to get to where we're going as being triggered or non-triggered. You could argue that all of the changes that this accountability CCWG is dealing with are triggered by the IANA stewardship and the desire of the community to make ICANN more accountable. I agree with you that once it's in, it isn't a triggered set of powers. That's why it's got non-triggered bias. Actually, the merging is an event, but that's just the transition we need to work through. I hope that helps. Steve, you've got your hand up.
Thanks, Jordan. Caboose, let me sympathize with you. I am as confused as you between the triggered and non-triggered distinction, but I'm a team player, and I'm trying to figure it out. And when we all figure it out, it'll really just be a way of dividing up the work. But to Johnny, what you just said is so appropriate, is that somebody in this CCWG has to sit down and mark up the bylaws to move the affirmation of commitments evaluations into the bylaws. And that is a task that only has to be done once over the next several months. And once it's done, before affirmation of commitments reviews become non-triggered. And I know that's exactly what you were saying to Johnny. But somebody has to take the work on of modifying the bylaws to bring, one time now, to bring that in. And let's not let that fall through the cracks. I see Matthew Shears in the chat as well. And we have to do the work. Somebody has to be on the work team to jump into the bylaws and add a section. And it isn't that hard. So since it's not that hard, why don't we sign up for it and bring in all four of the affirmation reviews? And then when we bring them in, we'd make a few changes to them. So we wouldn't necessarily say that ICANN's chairman and the GAC chair appoint the people on the review team. We probably let the GAC appoint the GAC member. We'd let the GNSO appoint the GNSO members. In other words, we'd make a few changes along the way. And once they're in, they become non-triggered, and there isn't anything for us to say about that on Work Party 1. In other words, once we've brought them in, there isn't a work item to do it because the four reviews will be self-explanatory. The new bylaws provisions of doing the reviews every 3 years and how they're done and who appoints them, all that will take care of itself. So that's a task that we need to do to get it done, and it's not a task that's fallen to anybody yet. Given that the affirmation of commitments is in our column, Jordan, we could take that on as part of the work we're doing. Thanks.
Steve, if I can follow on what you said, merge AOC into the ICANN bylaw is a change of the ICANN bylaw, and so it is the first item we have on the table, which is triggered. That's why I said perhaps if we change the formulation of the merge AOC into the ICANN bylaw would be good to be a non-triggered mechanism. Thank you.
Yeah, that is in there. Look down to the fourth row in Jordan's table. He has it as non-triggered. Fourth row down. You see that, Tijani?
Yeah.
So I know Jordan's thinking of it that way, and that's great because that's a process of, well, that's not as big of a process. It's not like we have to follow the cookbook that the chairs gave us. That's just a markup of the bylaws. The work product for that is just a red line. And it doesn't require all of the different things that are in the cookbook. Does that make sense?
And I understand very well the intention of Jordan. It is a non-triggered, because when it is under bylaw, yes, it is a non-triggered.
Okay, thanks, Gianni and Steve. That's helpful. Araste, I see your hand up again, or is that an old hand?
No. An old one, if it is me.
Okay. Thanks. Fiona, your turn. You're on mute. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Managed to unmute. I think Tijani and Steve may be misunderstanding. If we go back to the PowerPoint presentation on the issues that were put as non-triggered and those put as non-triggered, I think it was done with a futuristic approach. Where do we want to get to? So looking at it that way, where do we want to get to? We want the affirmation of commitments put into the bylaws, and it will become a non-triggered issue. We want community empowerment, the empowered community, to be a non-triggered, accountability mechanism. The board, the independent appeals mechanism are going to be triggered. So if we understood that slide from, because the slides were giving us the futuristic view of what we want, what is it we want to accomplish, so that then we are working and drafting documents and along that kind of vision. But if we look at everything we are doing within the CCWG, it's all triggered. So we might as well have everything as triggered, and that doesn't help us in terms of moving forward. I think what helps us is what we agreed during the last meeting in Singapore, what we agreed as non-triggered and triggered issues, because I think for me it's very clear. Once we, for example, put the affirmation of commitments into the ICANN bylaws, it does become a non-triggered issue, and that is where we want to get it. There are the issues of board or management action in conflict with the bylaws. Those are going to have to be triggered even in the future. So if we look at it in terms of where we want to be in the future vis-a-vis looking at it in terms of what we are working on, I think everything we are working on, it's being done by the community, so we can as well say everything right now is triggered, and that will not help us. But if we look at the futuristically, I think it helps us in terms of guiding us on what we want to accomplish. I think it's very clear that anything which will be guided by some already existing law, like in the bylaws, will be, or in the memorandum and articles, will be a non-triggered issue, and things that have to do with review, redress, that require a community member to begin an engagement of sorts, those become triggered. I think that helps us in terms of moving forward. So I don't necessarily agree with Tijani and Steve. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, no, look, I'll call this briefing list closed, and I think we're ready to move on to the next item, because essentially we're all agreeing with each other. These labels, triggered and non-triggered, are what would apply once all of the changes have been made, and the only purpose is to sift the work between our two working parties. We've said we need to keep an eye on the ones, even if we are going to let them go to Becky's working party. So I hope that there's no confusion there. One of the action points we need to do is to write a very small paragraph for each one that explains extremely clearly what we mean by it and what the reference is. So I'm happy to take that on working with Becky. If we could move to the next agenda item, which is the working plan. Oh, sorry, there's one more action, actually, which is for you all to keep looking at that document. Keep looking at the specific proposed allocations, remembering that non-triggered means it stays with us. Triggered means that it's going to be focused on more by Becky's working party. And if you've got comments or questions or suggestions to change those, put them in comments on the Google Doc or put your suggestions on the email list. Hopefully, if you could, within the next 24 hours or so, that would be helpful. Okay, the next item is the working plan and methods. I wonder if the staff could change what's on the screen for us from the current document to the working plan and methods document. And just while that's coming up, I thought I'd start by, oh, there we go, that's nice and quick. What we tried to do in this doc is that we've got a face-to-face meeting on the 23rd of March, which is just under 5 weeks away. And we need to have a good set of material present to the whole CCWG at that point. So we need to make sure that we're working on the right set of powers and mechanisms, and the ones that need to be dealt with by Working Party 2 need to go to them. And then we need to fill out the accountability mechanism template for each single power that we do. That needs to be done, obviously, by drafters. I'm your humble rapporteur, but I'm not going to try and write all that content by myself. But I know that there are a bunch of people here who are going to be able to help with that and take the lead in doing it. And we need to get that text as good as we can, as carefully considered as we can, and either as a consensus of our working party or where there isn't a consensus, really clear explanations about what the issues are for the CCWG to work through at its meeting. And it's not a lot of time to do it. So what I tried to do was to set out a work plan in the draft work plan section of this document, starts at the bottom of the first page. That would give us a few days by the end of this week to actually volunteer for the specific mechanisms that we want to do, and then to do some work on populating those templates with content that's based on what we need to review. And then to have an editorial group that could help scrub up the language, take a first pass at looking at it, and then to discuss those on the call, on the next call, which I'm proposing we're probably going to need to do one next week and one the week after. And we'll discuss it through on our next call, improve them, critique them, ask questions, and then do another round of editing and updating, sharing it with the CWG as we go. And then hopefully in a third call early in March, we will work through the issues. Now, it's pretty tight time frames, but that's because there are two big unknowns here. One of them is how the template will work, you know, whether it's intuitive and easy to fill out or whether it's going to be tricky. So we need to start trying to get some content as quickly as we can to make that work. And the second unknown is because we as a group haven't been talking on the substance yet, we don't know what the level of consensus is. So by front-loading the time that we've got available, if we find that we need much more intensive discussion than I thought, we do have time to do it. But to do this work relies on pretty much everyone volunteering to work on at least one of these elements. So that's the kind of broad picture of the work plan. I see a couple of hands up for hopefully comments on kind of what we need to do and the draft structure of work that's outlined there. So I've got Fiona Kabush and Rola on the list. So Fiona, you're first.
Sorry, it was an old hand.
Aha, okay. We'll move on to Kabush.
Before you move into the subject you are discussing, I had some question about the previous subject. When we say trigger, by whom? By events, by entity? For instance, if we take a working party to review and address, if something is identified and we, after the review, and we need to do something, is it something we call them triggered to modify the bylaw or modify the anything? That is to be really replied. Triggered by whom? Triggered by events? The relation between working party one and working party two. Second point is that the affirmation of commitment is a contract between ICANN and NTIA. Once the issue is transferred, some of the terms of that may need to be reviewed and revised before being incorporated in a bylaw. For instance, paragraph 91A or something, I don't recall, said that ICANN review the usefulness of GACC. This is between NTIA and ICANN. If it is, once it is transferred, I don't think that we should give the same doubt that ICANN or whoever the operator should review the usefulness of GACC. This is something we need before including the affirmation of commitment in the bylaw. We have to see the relevance of that item, whether at the stage of transition or during transition or after transition, that item still is valid or not. This is second point. Third point, what Tijani says that once we include by affirmation of commitment by law, it becomes non-triggered. It seems that we are talking of absolute stability. There is no absolute stability. Even if a very best reviewed of affirmation of commitment, including the bylaw, is still maybe subject to some triggering after some time. We cannot talk about the absolute stability of something. So I don't think that it becomes a non-trigger after the inclusion. So we have to be very careful about these three things. First, triggered by whom? By event or by somebody or by entity. Second, affirmation of commitment need to be reviewed before included in the bylaw. And third, there is no absolute stability after the inclusion of the affirmation of commitment into the bylaw. It may be subject to some changes after the review and redress actions. So these are the things that we have to really be very clear and not to rush. Otherwise, we would have some difficulty in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Kavush. In fact, these things are not important in one very significant way, which is that the only use of these labels is to allocate the development of all of the questions that you've just asked, so that who has standing, who can trigger things, and so on, in some detail. So the only question these labels are deciding is whether it's our working party or Becky's working party to do the detailed work about who has standing, who can start using the mechanism, what are the voting requirements, and so on. So it's just an allocation of work mechanism. All of the questions that you've raised are very important, but they aren't important in terms of allocating the work. They're important in doing the work. And so we need to do everything that you've described, but we don't need to do that in deciding whether it's this working party or Becky's working party that works on it. I hope that's clear. I have a hand on that speaking list, which is Rulof. Rulof, please fire away. If we can get back to the working plan and working methods, that would be great.
I think I need a bit of clarification on if you are still using in your work plan the distinction between powers and mechanisms. In the scope document, there's a clean distinction. Of course, those are the items where you've just added the column for triggered and non-triggered, powers for the community. And there are also mechanisms is something else. That's a kind of a structure. So SOAC structure, account, supervisory board, statutory members, delegates. I don't see them, those mechanisms back in the work plan, in the sense of somebody describing them or fitting them to the template.
Thank you, Olaf. That's a very good point. The reason that I haven't listed them is that when you look at the template that the co-chairs have asked for us to fill out for each of these powers, The template requires you to specify a mechanism for each power. So that work is going to have to be done so that when you look through the template, the first sections are about describing what the power is. Then there are sections about the standing of the people who can act, the composition of the decision-making body, and so on. So that's what we're being asked to do on a one-by-one case, if you like. I am not sure how that will work. I think it will work one of two ways. It will either be quite simple and straightforward to do that, or when volunteers are working through that template, they're going to say, it's easy to specify what the power is and to describe it, but why are we building a whole bunch of separate ways to implement it? Why are we building a different mechanism? And so one of the things that we're going to have to do in our group is to quickly reconcile those to avoid creating a hugely complex and dysfunctional system. And I think we should have a go, we should have a try with the template we've been given, but at our call next week, we should decide whether we are going to be able to do that or whether we need to separate the powers from the ways that they're exercised, the powers from the mechanism, which is the way that it's done in our bylaws, in our work plan. Does that help, Laura?
I'm not sure. The way I understand it, a power is an ingredient of one of the mechanisms, of each of the mechanisms. Quite a few mechanisms have identical powers. The template is made, at least the title suggests, that the template describes a mechanism. So maybe that causes the confusion, because your proposal is to use the template to describe a power. And I think that's a good way to work, because, like I said, many of the mechanisms share powers. For instance, the power to overrule a board decision is something that you need if you have a supervisory board, that you need if you have delegates, that you need if this working group becomes permanent, and that you need if you have a membership structure. So I think it's a good way to start from describing the powers or filling out the templates for the powers, but that will still leave work to do for the mechanisms, because they are distinct, and the distinctions between the different mechanisms we will have to describe, because they will require, for instance, different changes to the ICANN's bylaws. I'm not sure if I'm making myself clear.
Lulaf, I think you are, and I think that when we present our work at the conclusion, we need to be clear about what we're letting the community do, what the community should have the power to do, which is what I've called powers, and how they're going to do it, which is what I've called mechanisms. Now, the template that we've been given blends the two of them. And one way to respond to that is to just, we'll go away and start drafting, we'll try these templates. Another way to do it is to say, all that we'll ask the people with the templates to do is to fill out the first sections about the powers and who can exercise them, and to not worry about the mechanics, to not worry about the second part of the template, and for us to have another group looking at the mechanism. Now, my inclination is that we should honor the work the co-chairs in and try it their way first, because it could work. It could well work. I don't know if you've got a response to that.
I think we're saying the same thing, but maybe we're using different terms or something. But like you, I suggest that we start with the powers. But the strange thing is that the template has the title Accountability Mechanisms, and the first item to fill in is the name of the mechanism. So just to make sure that we all understand it the same way, I propose, if we want to start describing the powers first, that we change the title and the description in the first cell to fill in into Accountability powers or community powers and name of the power and not name of the mechanism. There's this unbearable silence suddenly.
I'm asking for the floor.
Oh, sorry, Rolf, I made a very elegant response to you, but I had myself on mute. I think that's a really good suggestion, but I would like to talk to the co-chairs and to Becky about, before we start changing the template, because it's important that both working parties use the same one. So I think it's a good suggestion, go off on it.
Okay.
Next on the speaking list is Kabush.
Yes, I don't think that we should change the name of mechanism with the name of power. Name of power has no meaning. Mechanism has any meaning. What mechanism we use to implement a particular power, but it's not name of power. Second, there are very rare cases that the powers are identical. They might be similar, but not identical. Removal of one board member is not similar to reversing a board decision. There are two different things, and the powers are different. So I don't see any area that the powers are identical. I would be very happy to have some example where the powers are identical. They might be similar, but with some differences. And that changed the implementation. So is it possible to not go to that far, saying that there are identical powers, unless we check every item on our list and see whether there is an area that the powers are identical? I don't think at this stage any identical power. Thank you.
Thanks, Kabush. I have to say that in my opinion, there are going to be, every power is different, but a number of powers might be end up being exercised by the same mechanism. So, if the powers were the same, then they would just be one power. Anyway, Tiani, you're next on the evening.
Yes, thank you, Jordan. Community appoints affirmation review team members is a mechanism. It is a mechanism that empowers the community, but it is a mechanism. The power is not an action. It's if you want the mechanism gives power to the community. I think this is the meaning of empowering the community. So I think those are mechanisms. Community appoints affirmation review team members is a mechanism. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiani. See, the way my brain works is that the power is to appoint community members to review teams. The mechanism is how you do that. So it might be that there's a cross-community working group that does it. That would be the mechanism. It might be the same cross-community group, disempowered board members. I don't know. But let's not get into a semantic discussion about this, because the template, whether it's called mechanism or powers, does ask all of the right questions that we're going to have to answer, whatever they're called and whatever the labels are. Steve, you're next on the list.
Thank you. Just a very brief point. Roloff was discussing the template, and it's come up a few times. When I first saw the template, it occurred to me that it's an extensive list of questions that for many of our mechanisms will be not applicable. We won't have to deal with them. And I did talk to the co-chairs about putting too much formula-type cookbook approach in, and they agreed that we don't necessarily have to build a table just like the template where everything is filled in. It's sufficient, they said, if we look at the template, and for any of the template items that are applicable, make sure that we answer them in the prose that we write about the mechanism. So it doesn't have to be a completely structured document where every single mechanism is fit to the template. That's my understanding, and I think we need that flexibility, particularly when I look at the items that are on our work table. For many of them, you don't need to go through a checklist like this page and a half of the cookbook of mechanisms. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. That's an important point, that no one should feel in the, if you're going to volunteer for drafting on one of these, you shouldn't feel you have to write large amounts of text or to complete every box. That's a very important point, because all you'll need to be able to do is to explain why you thought it wasn't important to fill one out if you're going to leave it blank. I would like to turn the discussion, if I could, back to whether this work plan makes sense, or whether there are any fundamentals in it, things that I've missed, things that we have to do. If there are any comments like that, I'd be grateful to hear them. Otherwise, we should need to move on to working methods, because we've only got about half an hour left on this call. I do see a couple of hands up at the moment. That's Phil Kabush's hand.
Yes, Jordan, I fully agree in the way that you describe power and the concept. Power is ability to do something, and to do that something, you need a modality and ways and means, and that is mechanism. So there are two different things, and they are not identical. Thank you.
Thanks, Kalush. I'm going to make a last call if anyone sees any major points of the work plan. A comment has been made in the chat about whether we're looking to actually draft the bylaws changes that would give effect to these matters or not. That's a very good question. Thank you, Keith Jarzak. My answer to that would be that so far what I've taken from the discussion is that our meeting in March, we only need the powers filled out. But given that what we're trying to do at that face-to-face meeting is to get our proposal ready for public consultation, my personal view is that probably the more detail that we've got to consult the community with, the better, as long as we get the big picture story right. And so I would like that to be noted as well, staff, as an action point, if we could. Jordan's check with the co-chairs about whether draft bylaws changes should be developed by the working party in time for Frankfurt. If we do need to do that, it's a bit more work, but I think it's still manageable. Thank you for asking the question. Are there any other points about the work plan, or can we go on to working methods? Okay, so we can start that work plan then as a workable start, and I suggest that we, after we're done with it for a week or so, we look at it at our next call anyhow. Turning briefly to the working methods, we've discussed a lot of them imperatively already, in the sense that we're going to need volunteers to write the content and the templates. We need to all have the chance to review and talk through what's there. I've suggested an editor group to support volunteers. If people have an idea and want to help, they shouldn't feel unable to do that just because they're not so confident in their English language writing skills. And so the editors can provide some support. And that we should highlight issues where we can't come to agreements and resolve them at the working party. That probably a weekly call is going to be required, and that we should use Google Docs with comment functions as a simple way to share stuff. Do people have any other comments that they want to make about work methods at this point?
Are we still connected?
Gordon, are you on mute?
I think we may have lost Jordan.
Have we lost everybody who's calling in?
This is the operator. All lines are still open.
We're all still here. Just Jordan.
Oh, okay.
All right, he's reconnecting.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
There is a silence, total silence, absolute silence.
Once again, this is the operator. Please stand by. All lines are open and connected, including the Adobe line. We have just lost the audio from the moderator.
Anyone heard any good jokes?
Greg probably has a good sheep joke. Hey, while we're waiting for Jordan, is anybody ready to step up, volunteer for some of this drafting? I don't want to get in front of him, but
I can.
Him too.
Jim here.
This is Rulof. I can do 1, A, B, and C.
This is Fiona. I would be happy to work on the section 2 on formation of commitment and the related review.
But Steve, I see that in the list there are triggered and not triggered mechanisms. So I don't know, will we work all of them or we will work only the non-triggered one?
Hey, Kavos, if you look at the bottom of the document on the screen where it says volunteers list, you scroll down to there, it's near the end of the document. On there, Jordan is showing us only the items that are on our work team, which is to say non-triggered. So there, you just have to look at, did you find that at the bottom where it says volunteers list? That's the only ones we have to go after.
But Steve, this is Tijani, it's not Kavos. Community approves budget and strategic plan is triggered. Is a non-triggered, yes.
That's right.
Yes.
That's
okay.
Why it's within Work Party 1. Everything,
yeah.
I'm sorry, Tijani, it's the volunteers list, what Jordan has there, they're all Work Party 1. So
okay.
They're all within our camp.
Okay.
That's great. A lot of people are volunteering for different things, which is great. So, Jordan, you're back, and we pretty much have all the work volunteered.
Oh, awesome. Okay. So,
Just kidding.
I apologize for that. I had an internet connectivity problem, which is ironic, working for an organization called Internet New Zealand. I saw someone made a sheep joke, which was always very welcome. When I left, I was trying to speak about the work plan, I think. And we can go through volunteers now, or we can come back to them. The only other thing that we have to do on this plan is just find out if there's any discussion on the content of the scope, powers, and mechanisms document. So if you've already started doing volunteers, should we just continue to do that? Are people happy to take that approach?
Sure.
Are the staff taking notes from those volunteers? I see that they are. So we've got Rulof, Steve and Matthew have volunteered for some. Fiona is working on some of the AOC material. Are there other volunteers who would like to help with the drafting of the content of these templates? We've got plenty of templates for ones and twos, and maybe fewer for 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. There's also the needs. I would like one or two people to volunteer and help with doing some editorial support. So being able to look at drafts that people do and maybe help flesh out the language. Keith, I see you're happy to be plugged in wherever. We'll take you up on that. And Jonathan and Keith are both volunteering to join as editors as well. Remember that no one is getting an evil hand of power in any of this process, because all of the content is coming back for all of us to discuss. So, are there any other, if there are no other specific volunteers after this, and also, I'll put a little note on the email list reminding that people have got time to volunteer, and I'll proactively ask some people to do various bits and pieces as well, and I'm happy to do some initial writing too. And so keep making suggestions in the chat as well. Okay, are there any other points about the work plan and methods document? I hope it was reasonably straightforward. I tried to make it as short as it could be. No hands up and no one's speaking. So let's move on to the next item, which is...
Do you have a... There's some hands up, yeah.
There are scope, powers, and mechanisms document today that the ICANN meeting started 8th of February. Oh, someone else talking?
Jordan?
Am I still connected to the call this time?
You are?
Yes, we can hear you.
Jordan, it's Steve. Hand up. Would you take a question?
If you can hear me, please let me know.
We do. I do hear you, Jordan.
We hear you. Can you hear us?
Okay, thank you. I think I had a I now hear you all as well. Yeah, thank you. Sorry, there was another connectivity hiccup. I'm on 4G at the moment. I've now completely lost track of where I was at, but just I was giving a little outline of where the scope, powers, and mechanisms document came to. You would have seen the first draft of it around about 10 or 12 days ago. there hasn't been a substantive change to the content of the document other than to add the power that Steve has proposed in respect of clarifying when the boards of ICANN should respond to GAC consensus advice, what consensus might mean. Are there any comments about that document? And Steve has his hand up, so I will move on to Steve. Thanks.
Thanks, Jordan. It was really a question about what you as a rapporteur have as expectations. So now that we have an example where Keith and Jonathan are working on 5A and B, Fiona, Matthew, and I might grab 2A, B, C, D, and E. We're thinking that since the deliverable for 2A, B, C, D, and E is a markup of the bylaws, that there's almost nothing in the template that we have to pay attention to. Instead, we take the affirmation of commitments, we snip off the four reviews at the end, and we try to put them in a Word document and make them read as if they're part of the ICANN bylaws. We wouldn't necessarily put a section number, we don't know where it would live, but we'd put them together as reviews. We'd make changes to say the community appoints people. We'd make changes about the ATRT being able to sunset old reviews and create new ones. We'd do everything that you have in the work plan. And what we would end up with is about four paragraphs of text. We would work with each other to edit it. And then we would produce that for you guys to put back into the document. But that deliverable doesn't have any of the elements of the cookbook, and I'm just clarifying with you that that's your expectation as well.
I think I missed some of the conversation leading up to that. I've maintained the view that we should try and use the template where it works, but that if there are important deliverables that will actually advance our work that don't match the template, my view is do those deliverables. And I think that it's impossible for people to understand what is meant by including the AOC in the bylaws without actually trying to incorporate it in the bylaws. Fiona has already done some work in respect of including the AOCs, so we would need to join her into the volunteers there. I think that's what you said, actually, Steve, Matthew, and Fiona. So I don't have a problem with people doing more. If you think the bylaws changes by themselves are self-explanatory, just do that and let's discuss it on our next call. And we can see whether there's a need to try and somehow plug a high-level description of it into the template. Templates don't prove useful. We will change them. So if you are using them and you are finding that it isn't working for you, do what you think works and bring it back to the group. And I would just urge you, in terms of the working methods that we're doing, to consider using Google Documents that people can see you working on, rather than just exchanging Microsoft Word document files between you. I don't know if people have problems with Google. I'm happy to help informally with that if you need. So is that clear? Use the template as much as you can. If there's something obvious you need to do that isn't part of it, do that.
Jordan, it's Steve. Just to finish. We did try to make this clear. If you look at the template, it is of no relevance to the task under 2A, B, C, D, and E. And it's not as if we're going to take a look at it and use what we can. None of it applies. And I just want to make sure you're okay with that, because the work that Fiona, Matthew, and I would do is only four paragraphs of text that we're proposing to live in the bylaws that would require ICANN to do the reviews that only the affirmation requires today. So there wouldn't be any application of the cookbook at all. Thanks.
Hi, Steve. You've already done what I suggested, which is to look at it and make use of what you can. If none of it is of use, then that's fine. Staff are noting still the volunteers that are coming through in the chat, which is good. I do want to look at scope, powers, mechanisms document and just ask if there are any violent disagreements with any of the content there. Rula, your hand is up.
Yeah, my hand is not up because of a violent disagreement, but can you put the template in Google Docs so that we can use it from there and copy it?
That is a very good idea. Grace or other staff, could you put the template into Google Docs and then circulate a link on the Working Party list so that people can find a nice, easy-to-use copy of it there? I think that should be doable. Just for obvious reasons, if you get the document off the Google Docs template, save it as a different file name. Otherwise, everyone will be writing their contents into the Google Doc. Tiani, you've got your hand up.
Yes, thank you, Jordan. Rather than Google Docs, I would prefer to use the wiki, since we have our wikis. And as you know, in some countries, Google is not permitted. So some people from our community would be prevented from using Google Docs. So our wikis are very well, and it is a collaborative way to use the wikis. Thank you.
Personally, I don't mind what system people use as long as it provides the documents for us in a way that is open and easy to use. Wherever there are Google Docs, when the staff post them on the ICANN community wiki, they also PDF and Word documents, and they can post markup changes, track changes that show the differences between various versions. So definitely all of the material will be available on the wiki as a central repository. And if you want to use that as a working space, I'm sure that you can do so. But as Grace has offered, please contact her to do an account. And Grace, other staff, I presume that somewhere on the ICANN wiki there must be a sort of how-to tutorial if people are interested in learning more about it. If there's information like that, could you please circulate that on the email list as well? Thanks, Grace. Okay, we keep looking back to the working methods. I'm wondering whether that means that people have moved a bit beyond what's in the scope, powers, and mechanisms document. And I'll ask again if there are any sort of violent disagreements or if people are happy to have it standing as just a working document of this group that's providing a useful list of stuff for us to be doing more work on. That's how it feels to me. Are there any hands up for people who want to comment on that or comments in the chat about it? Okay. Bearing in mind that being fine with this document does not bind us to anything in it, it doesn't do that. So all of the substantive content is still to come. Okay. By my measure, that means we've largely worked through our agenda. We've dealt with the volunteers item four, really in conjunction with our work plan. Kabush has asked where the work plan is available on the wiki. Kabush, it was included in a copy of the papers that I emailed around, so you will have both a PDF and a Word version of it in your email definitely. And I know that the ICANN staff will post that material on the wiki in the development section. We've got a subgroup section, Working Party 1, and under that is Working Party 1 documents. And so in there you'll be able to find all of this material as soon as humanly possible. Are there any items of other business that anyone would like to raise, or any other issues that was not dealt with adequately earlier? We've got 5 or so minutes to do any last points. Are there any hands up for that? Anyone want to say anything?
Thank you.
But he can type, and he's
This is Barry. So for those that aren't seeing the chat, we did lose the voice of Jordan, and it looks like we're drawing the meeting to a close. I think there's a few. Otherwise, let's close the call, and thank you for participating. And at this point, the operator can stop the recording.